I started into a new series just talking about the idea of this word called sozo. And that sozo, and that means it's from the Greek which the New Testament was written in. It's about 110 times this word has been in there. And I broke it down a little bit in the very beginning of this. You can go on to rockcliffe.org and you can catch up on sozo in that very first part. But we talked about this idea of forgiveness. And I'm trying to break it down in a way because there's so much of the world's thoughts about forgiveness has crept into our faith and into our walk with our Lord. And that whereas the Bible tells us and it challenges us that forgiveness is 100% spiritual. It's 100% spiritual. It will trickle down through the flesh because the spirit and the physical, they overlap. But it starts there. That's why Jesus said, and that you are to forgive everyone. How many times? 70 times 7. In other words, an infinite amount of times. Is it fair? It's not about fair. It's not about fair. It's not about what we feel. It's not about whether we want to and our will. Right? The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your body, your soul, everything about you, and your strength. Love him with everything. And so we get this idea where he says, everything we do it unto the Lord. So as we're doing unto him what he has done for us, God so willingly forgave us of our sins. Not because you and I deserved it. Not because we got it all together or we wear the right stuff or we act the right way, we got the right last name or we got enough money. Because none of those things matter. What matters is that you were created by him. He breathed life into you in your mother's womb. And he's saying, come to me. He says, you will become born again, no longer of the flesh, but now of the spirit. He'll awaken. He'll bring you alive in the spirit. So now you can hear him. You can see him. You can walk with him and participate with him. And everything that you need for godliness or righteousness and is found in him. And one of those areas is this word forgiveness. Can you bring the PowerPoint up for me? And that forgiveness. And this idea that he challenges us that it's a free gift and that is released from God. And then by us to others. So I need God's help to forgive others. To really biblically forgive someone else, I need Holy Spirit's help. I can't do it. It's not about just saying, yeah, whatever. Okay, yeah, I forgive you. Okay. Only to be plagued over and over and over and over and over and over again with these thoughts that we end up talking to everyone else and we move here and we move there and we're building our case and everything else. That's not what biblical forgiveness is about. But today we want to walk through that. It's not a feeling, but it's a decision. It's a spiritual act, and that we need to walk into every time. So I want to help you to unpack some things in your life. So we're going to participate together here. You don't have to talk out loud, and that you can whisper it in your breath. You can say it in your mind because God is the one that can read our minds. Amen. And that, so I'm not trying to embarrass or pull anyone out, but I do believe that we need to participate with Holy Spirit. We need to participate with him. We can't just be listeners of the word. He says, don't be just a listener, but put it into practice. So today we're going to put into practice biblical forgiveness. So the question comes, to forgive or not to forgive? You've heard this saying, grass is greener on the other side. That's not. Right? It's true, right? You know, sometimes in your family, you go through something and you look at someone else's family. Oh, I wish I was there. You know, you look at your party or Christmas time and you look at someone else's. You look sometimes at your marriage. You look at other things. That's how the enemy, he gets at us. He tries to warp us to compare to someone else. Grass is not greener on the other side. Amen? And that even in church life, grass isn't greener on the other side. Right? It's not about that. We don't pick and choose and do. We ask, Holy Spirit, what do you have for us? Where do you want me? Right? I didn't pick my family. I'm so grateful for my family, my mom and dad. I mean, man, my dad is just amazing. I tried so hard for the last 3 years to get them to come, and that between the broken neck and the three surgeries on eyes and this and that, now moved to the Maritimes and that. But I'm telling you, if I could be a quarter of the man who my dad was, I'd be proud. Just a quarter. And that I love my dad and my mom so much. I'm so thankful that God put me into that family, but I didn't choose them. You didn't choose your family. You choose your friends, but you don't choose family. It's the same thing as we come together as a body. We don't choose. We just ask God, where do you want me? Wherever he wants you, that's where you plant, you bloom, and you grow. Amen? And that understanding that we will rub shoulders. We will step on toes. But that's what's needed so that we don't get stuck. We don't get so comfortable that we just kind of go through the motions. And that because God, he really doesn't like that. He says, I wish you hot or cold, in or out, but not just coasting in the middle. He says, that part, I'll spit you out of my mouth. In other words, I don't want anything to do with that. Because a heart divided, and that can't stand. So this is speaking into our hearts today. He's challenging us, and that at this Christmas season, and that the wise men, they understood what was happening, and they came and gave their best gift that they had to baby Jesus. This Christmas, what are you going to give him? What are you going to give him this Christmas? Maybe it's that area of your heart that you've been locked down in, no-go area. Your hurt, your wound, that unforgiveness, that part of you that you just said, no way, God, you can have all of this, but not this. Whatever that area is, remember the best gift that we can give God is our life. It's giving our life to him, opening our hearts to him. But in this area of forgiveness, it's always greener on that side. It's always right to do what's right, even if it doesn't turn out right for me. Even if I feel like I got the butt end of the deal because someone wronged me and I'm forgiving them and I'm releasing them, like they didn't pay me back, they didn't give me, I mean, what's going on? Your reward is not here, it's in heaven. He says we need to start storing things up in heaven, and the only way to store it up in heaven is to do what he asks us to do here. Don't worry. Everyone will get their just reward. And that if we start doing terrible things to people, we'll get our just reward. Be sure your sins will find you out. But let God be the judge. Let God be the one and that to work things and move things. But your job is... My job is to submit ourselves to God, deny ourselves, deny what I want and what I deserve, my rights. No longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. There is a way. There is a way. There is a truth, and there is a life. And that's only found in Jesus as we open our hearts to him. I want to talk just quickly about the idea of captive versus a prisoner. Captive versus a prisoner. And that Isaiah 61 verse 1, it says this. And that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. And that he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives. And the opening of the prison to those who are bound. See, this is what God has called us to. This was the ministry that Jesus came to do. And that's the ministry he's called you and I to, is the ministry of reconciliation. He's called us and that to bind up that broken heart. He's called us and that to proclaim release or liberty to the captive. And that to the opening of the prisoner. Why? Because when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't do it because he thought it was kind of cool. Wow, this would be kind of cool. No, he didn't do it because of that. He did it because he was going to conquer death and hell, and he was going to pay the price that you and I had to pay. And when he went down into the grave, he took the keys of death and hell. Then no longer does the enemy have anything on us. No longer do we have to be bound. No longer are we stuck in any prison. And that is, we're sitting in the prison of life or the circumstance or the situation. God is telling us that Jesus has the keys. So what does that simply mean? It means this: you're never stuck. You are never stuck unless you choose to be stuck. Because the door's not locked. Jesus took the keys. You just got to push it open and walk out. And he says, whom the Son sets free is? We've got to embrace this. Do we believe it? We say it a lot. But why is there so many believers today walking around so bound? So bound. Brokenhearted. Because they feel like God shortchanged them. Why? Because their eyes and their heart get coveting other things, or jealous, or looking at envious of other things. And that's what the Bible says. Don't do those things. Don't compare one to another. Pick up your cross. Because the cross you have to bear, I'm not bearing that cross. I can't carry your cross. I can help maybe prop it. I can help prop you. I can help encourage you and spur you. But I got my own cross I got to carry. Things that I struggle with, things that try to hold me back, and I got to pick that cross up, and I keep walking. I say, okay, God, unless you are going to release this, I'm just going to keep carrying, trusting that you got a hold of me, that you're going to make a way. I'm just trusting you in that, Lord. A captive is someone who has been bound or affected by the force of someone else. Maybe you're here today and that you've been captive by something that someone else did to you. You didn't deserve it. You didn't initiate. And that you didn't initiate what was done wrong, but you were wounded by someone else. I want you to know that healing comes with forgiveness. Healing comes with forgiveness. Release the lie, the wound, the terrible act, the neglect, whatever it might be, healing comes by releasing forgiveness. That doesn't make sense sometimes. But Jesus says, I choose the foolish things to puzzle the wise. And that idea, he says, hey, and that you might have been the one that was wronged. But I'm telling you, the way to victory is surrender. The way to victory, the way out is surrender. And God says, as we surrender in this area of being captive, it's that we end up taking this step and we forgive those who have done us wrong. Whether they want it, whether they ask for it, it doesn't matter. That's not what he's talking about. We don't do because someone does unto us. You kick me in the shin, I'm kicking you back. That's what the world says. But God says, turn the other cheek. God says, you take the first move. And that you that are in Christ, you are the one that believes in me and what I've done for you. I took the first step. He says, he died for us. Yet while we were still sinners. Even all of the Roman soldiers and the Pharisees and everyone else that was around there that cheered on, crucify him, crucify him. Jesus stood on the cross and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, it only gets confusing when we get ourselves out of the spirit and into the flesh. Because in the spirit, the Bible tells us, our fight's not against flesh and blood. In the flesh, that's all I see. That's all I see is people around me. And it hurts when I get hurt. I don't like it when I get hurt. I don't like it when things don't go right. I don't like to be lied to. I don't like this. I don't like that. But God says, don't conform to the pattern of this world. Don't live by the flesh. The ups and the downs and everything else. Otherwise, you're going to become a captive. You're going to become a captive. You're going to be chained. You're going to be bound to a person, to an event. And that for the rest of your life because you're not willing to forgive. I shared an illustration of how they used to catch little monkeys, and that quite a while ago, I'd get a coconut because that's what they would use, and they'd tie a rope or a chain to it and link it to a tree or something. They would take a piece of fruit or a shiny object and catch the attention of the same monkey that they wanted, and they would catch the attention of it, and once they get that attention of that monkey that they wanted, they would drop it in the coconut, and they would walk behind another tree. That monkey would come eventually because curious George, and that George would come over and that he'd look at the thing. He'd be poking his head and he'd be looking in that little hole that's cut in the coconut. He would stick his hand into the hole. It was big enough for his hand to go in, but when he grabbed that item, and that all of a sudden they knew he was caught. Why? Because when a monkey gets something, it does not want to let go. And that monkey's holding on, but when he made the fist, he couldn't get it through the hole. So they would just casually walk up, take a little blanket, a sack or something, and stick it over top of the monkey, scoop it up, and that undo the chain, and now they've got their monkey. Simple. There was no power in the tree. It wasn't in that chain or that rope. It wasn't in the coconut, or it wasn't in that little jewel or that piece of fruit or whatever it was in there. The power was in that monkey. All he had to do was let go, and he would be free. Listen to me. It's that simple. We are giving way too much power to the enemy through the lens of some person or event that has happened in our life. When we don't let go. And when you let go, what you're doing is you're letting go and letting God. As long as you hang on to it, you're not letting God. And that's why you're still carrying, and that's why you're still stuck in that moment. And that moment, I'm going to tell you now, and that it doesn't just impact that moment, but it starts to rewrite the history that God has planned for you. Because it starts to taint it. Why? Because if you hang on to a hurt and a pain, unforgiveness, it creates bitterness, it creates hurt, it creates a reaction to resist love. It takes a reaction to push people away. Why? Because all you can see is the fact I'm stuck, I can't get free. But yet Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is, he intended you to be free. So that's the captive. Then in Isaiah 61, it talks about a prisoner. A prisoner is someone who is locked up, who is bound up because of their own actions or sins. See, freedom comes for a prisoner by releasing confession and forgiveness. And that if we don't even recognize that we've done wrong, the enemy has blinded us. When we've done wrong and that to someone, we need to go and ask for forgiveness. First to God. God. And that why? Because, and that when I don't love my wife like I should, I need to ask her forgiveness, but I first need to ask forgiveness of God. Why? Because I'm not doing what he asked me to do. And everything I do it unto him. So if I'm not loving her right, I'm not loving him right. If I turn around and talk ill of my boss, and I talk behind his back, and I'm, he's like this, rah, rah, rah. Really, ultimately, if we follow the word of God and we're believers of the word, then I'm actually talking like that about God. Because everything I do it to him first. And this is where it's really hard for us as believers. Why? Because now all of a sudden it means I have to take responsibility that my words and my actions really do matter. It's really comfortable in our North American setting of church. We've made it so comfortable that I don't have to really take ownership for anything. It doesn't really matter. Well, yes, we do have to take ownership. Why? Because we're the bride of Christ. We've been set apart. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We've been restored. We can hear him. He says, my sheep know my voice. We can see him. To much that has been given, much is required. So it's not about adding God into your home, of your house. So to speak, kind of like adding a granny suite onto the house. Hey, I'm going to take care of my in-laws. I'm going to take care of my parents, which is a very honorable thing to do. But it's not like that with God. He's saying, hey, I don't want just a room in your house. I want to be your house. I want to be everything. So I'm just going to kind of break down everything, and I'm going to remodel it the way that I believe and I intended it to be. Will you trust me? Right? Sometimes my wife, she has a harder time when we go into the rental mode and that, or when we built our house. Why? Because she couldn't quite see it. Couldn't quite get the size. Couldn't quite, what is it going to look? Yet it's in here and I got it and I got a blueprint in front of me and I'm trying hard to build towards that. But then as each little piece came together, all of a sudden it started to take shape. Oh, that, wow, this is exactly what I wanted. So same thing with your life and mine. When we give our heart to the Lord and that he makes us new, the old is gone and the new has begun. And then from glory to glory, he's shaping and building and making us into be like his son. And that, yes, when I come to Christ, it's just as if I never sinned. He wipes the slate clean. He gives me a new foundation to stand on. And that so that the enemy lies to me. I'm saying, you know what? Hey, that's my yesterday. That's my old self. You know, you got to go talk to Jesus because I don't have it anymore. But then he talks about that part of sanctification, which all of a sudden, you know, we're made pure, but then from day by day by day, and that he's renewing us. He's reminding us of who we are as a son and daughter of God. He's calling us to come a little higher, to trust him a little more, to walk with him in that way. Matthew chapter 18, and that is a parable. It talks very bluntly about how we become a prisoner and that by refusing to forgive and not being merciful to others. In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers or the tormentors to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. You know, remember, I mean, that parable is crazy. This guy gets, you know, let off from owing a few bucks. You know, owing a huge amount of money he owed. The king lets him off, clears his debt, only for him to turn around and go over to someone else that owed him chump change, $13.22. No, it wasn't that amount, but it was like nothing. And he goes and he fights with this guy and says, you got to pay me now. And the guy's like, well, I don't have the money right now, but I'll try. No, you don't have it? You're not paying now? You're in prison. And he sets him off. Oh, my goodness, the king over here who just let him off of this huge debt. Are you kidding me? After all I did, he couldn't release forgiveness to this person about chump change? About something so small, so little? And Jesus, we get this parable given to us to challenge us. We've been forgiven a huge debt. What is he trying to get at? He's trying to get at the fact that there is nothing in this world we cannot forgive unless we choose. And if we choose not to forgive, you will become a captive, you will become a prisoner, and you will not be able to walk and hear and move like God created you to. I might be being a little blunt here, and I might be a little bit forward and straight, but my heart is, and the heart of Rockcliffe's leadership is, we don't want to see anyone free. I mean, free. Oh, my goodness. Dub that out of there, okay? That didn't come out right. We don't want to see anyone bound. We don't want anyone to walk away and that not knowing that there is good news, that you can be free. You can live light. He says, my burden is light, my yoke is easy. I can walk through the valley of shadow of death. All hell can break loose around me, and I'm going to be okay because he's there with me. Amen? We believe he's the miracle worker. We pray all the time. We hear him. We move with him. We see him touch people's lives and rearrange. All those things are happening all the time. Why? Because he's alive and not dead. But what good is it for someone to be healed of something, someone to be set free of something, someone to receive a blessing, only to be bound and miss everything? It's a profit of man to gain the whole world but to lose his soul. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by the enemy. A little leaven spoils the whole batch. Unforgiveness is like leaven. It's that part that it just destroys everything. And God says in that part is, and that as we ask God to forgive us our debts, we have to forgive others theirs. We have to. It's not an option. Not with God. In our family, in society, and sometimes in some churches, it becomes this optional thing. But with God, it's not optional. It's a command. You must. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. The faster you move into it, the easier it is. The longer you hang on to it and hang on to it, now it's become clouded with emotions and your thoughts and everything else. Other people you've drawn in to build your case up and that you deserve it and you are right. Listen to me. The Bible says right off the bat, right away, release that forgiveness. You got to make it right with a brother or sister? Go to them privately. If it's not turning out right, go take someone else with you. And that if not, then you bring it to the church and we walk it through together. Why? Because God so desperately wants people to be free. Not bound up, but free. There's some scriptures and that you just want to black out in sometimes in scripture because it's just so hard. It's so hard. How do we forgive? What about rape? Like, how do you forgive? Or physical abuse, or someone who's caused that car accident. Questions like, does it seem fair to forgive them? I did nothing wrong. That person came into my life. They violated, they harassed me, they harmed me, they violently did something to me. And you're telling me that if I don't forgive, then I'm the one that's going to be handed over to the tormentor? It's really hard to handle. It's really hard to grab a hold of. But Jesus says his way is narrow. Broad is the way that leads to death. His way is narrow, and if we follow his way, it will lead to life. Is it easy? No, not at all. In fact, it's impossible to serve God. It's impossible to serve him without Holy Spirit's help. You need Holy Spirit every day, and I need him every day to help me to walk through all that God has called me to and you, he's called you to. Colossians 3:13, be gentle and ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Remember, it's a spiritual act first. Feelings and emotions, they'll follow. You tell them, like David, why are you downcast, oh my soul? Smarten up. Emotions, why are you moving like that? No way. I'm moving with the Lord, and I choose to forgive. I choose to walk past. Prisoners are spiritually handcuffed to the person or situation that they have not confessed or forgiven. The key to unlock yourself is in your own handcuff. To get yourself free, you must turn the key of forgiveness. Freedom is in your control. Or in your hand as you cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Jesus conquered death and hell and took the keys, and he said that he has set you free. So walk free. Matthew chapter 5, 43 to 48, we see this whole echo from him as to love your enemies. Pray for your enemies. And that and those that persecute you. Matthew 6, 14 and 15 talks about the consequence or the blessing of obedience and the consequence of unforgiveness. So it says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive your trespasses or your sins. I don't know about you. Man, I don't want to carry anything more than I have to carry. Again, life's hard on its own, is it not? And that if you want to live light and free, the Bible says do it His way. And His way is to walk in forgiveness. His way is to open your heart to Him. Remember, Jesus said in John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This moment, I have a video I want to play just before we apply this. And that is a song by Matthew West and a testimony that is came out of him writing this song. So if you just flip to the next slide. Try one more click maybe.
This one story in particular has had a profound impact on me. It's about a woman who did the impossible, and it made me ask myself, if I could do the same. Renee had four kids. Two of her daughters were twins. Megan was coming home from the beach one night with her best friend when their car was struck by a drunk driver named Eric, a 24-year-old kid. Megan lost her life. Eric killed both girls that were in the car. Renee lost her daughter in an instant.
Megan is a very joyful child and had a heart of gold, beautiful, loved people. Loved her family, just a joy of my life. And when she was 20 years old, on May 11th, 2002, my sister-in-law came to the door to tell me that Megan had been in a car accident and she didn't make it. You know, my heart was so broken, and I looked at her and said, no, you're kidding. And, you know, still looking for her to tell me that this is not really true, that Megan wasn't coming back home.
Next thing she knows, she finds herself in a courtroom watching this young man, this 24-year-old man, get sentenced to 22 years in prison. After Renee lost her daughter, she said she found herself in the darkest place she'd ever been. This guy Eric was behind bars, but she said she felt like the prisoner. Why? Because she had all this bitterness and hatred built up towards that young man. And so she reached out and did the impossible. She reached out to Eric in prison and said, I forgive you. The ripple effects of that act of forgiveness are still being felt today. That young man's life was absolutely changed because this woman forgave him. He said, I can't even forgive myself, and she forgave me. One by one, all of Renee's family members followed her lead, and they reached out and expressed forgiveness to Eric. So much so that now they describe Eric as part of their family. Like a son to Renee. The story doesn't stop there though. Renee went to the courts along with her family, and she was able to have Eric's sentence cut in half from 22 years to 11 years.
He told me that day, the day of the hearing, that it didn't matter at this point. He said, you know, if the judge does not grant this for me, I want you to know that I am so grateful that you are willing to do this. And he said, and I will be okay. He said, I'll be fine. But he was blown away by the fact that we were willing to go before the judge and you know, plead for him to not have to be there for 22 years.
It's the hardest thing. Give away the last thing on your mind today, and it always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they cause is just too real. Takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness.
I was more than angry at Eric. I had so much rage inside of me, and yet the moment that I was able to look Eric in his eyes and tell him that I forgive him, you know, that was a moment that healing began for both of us.
It's always anger's own worst enemy. And even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying set it free. forgiveness.
A judge and a jury telling you that it's okay to hold a grudge. You know, that's what the world says. It's okay for you to feel that way, which it is. But yet, those feelings, they're inside of you, eating away at you, and you don't want to live your life that way.
Forgiveness. Show me how to love the unlovable. Show me how to reach the unreachable.
There are people who are not going to ever have someone say to them, I'm sorry for what I did, or I take responsibility for what I did, and you still have to forgive if you want to heal.
It can even set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness.
You're not letting go of what happened. You know, it is wrong. It should never have happened. It is not okay. It doesn't mean that you're canceling any of that out. But once you are able to say those words and truly mean it, you know, then you do find that you're setting a prisoner free, and the prisoner truly is you.
Show me how to love the unlovable. Show me how to reach the unreachable.
I was immediately inspired by Renee's story when I read it, but it took me a while to write her song. I kept her story in my guitar case for about 2 years, and I realized the reason why it was so difficult to write this song, Forgiveness, is because it's kind of hard to live that out. That's why the words of the chorus are sung in the form of a prayer. God, show me how. Help me to do the impossible. This story of forgiveness really makes me think that there's some pretty life-defining questions that all revolve around that one word, forgiveness. Questions like, is there somebody that I need to forgive, that I've been holding onto a grudge and it's weighing me down? Every step's getting heavier and I just need to set it free. Another question is there someone that I need to go and ask for forgiveness from? To say, I'm humbling myself, I'm sorry, no excuses, can we start over? Another forgiveness question, one that Eric has had to deal with in prison, is, can I ever forgive myself? What if loving the unlovable means having to learn how to love that person you see when you look in the mirror? Sometimes that's not an easy task, which really leads to the most significant forgiveness question of all, and it's this. Have I ever let it really sink in? The message of God's forgiveness, what He's done for me through His Son Jesus dying on a cross for my sins. Renee stood before that judge, along with all of her family members, taking turns speaking on behalf of a guilty criminal and seeking mercy for him. I'm reminded that somebody has done that for me, somebody has done that for you, and His name is Jesus. For God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why did He do that? So that our stories could discover the healing, the victory, the redemption, the power, the freedom of one word, forgiveness.
You have your yellow pages with you. We're going to take a few moments. I know it's a little later than that, but we won't take too much longer. And we want to pause for a moment here, and we want to apply forgiveness. And that, why? Because we want to help you to be able to live light and free. We want to help you to walk spiritually and into the walk that the God has called us to. So, and that in that part is there's three areas that we might need to ask for forgiveness, right? That part of someone that's done us wrong, right? And that to someone that maybe we've done wrong to. And probably the hardest of all of it is forgiving ourselves. Some people are really good at forgiving others. They're really good at saying, hey, I'm really sorry, would you forgive me? But then they get this lie inside them thinking that they've got to hang on to this for the rest of their life because they don't deserve it. And it just eats away at them. It stops them when God says move forward. It stops them from moving because they don't feel like they deserve to. And yet God is saying, wait a second here. I set you free so that you can walk into the things I have for you. But if you're finding yourself stuck, we're going to pause and we're going to use this first part here and that of forgiving someone else that has done us wrong. Someone that has done us wrong. We want to pause, we want to reflect, and we want to walk through. It is on your yellow pages and that, but you'll see it in behind here. And in a few moments, we're going to read together, Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive, then insert the name. Maybe it's in your mind. You don't want to speak it out because you don't want anyone to hear, especially if it's the person next to you. Okay, you know? And that then for a list and list the incidences. Don't rationalize, though. What do I mean by rationalizing? I don't want you to minimize, make excuses for, or intellectualize, or justify the feelings that you felt in that incident, in that moment. And that we're approaching God as little children. Telling him everything that we feel. God says, don't be so adult-y. He says, that my kingdom is for such as these, as children. And he says, don't grow up so fast that you become hardened and you don't need help and you can do it on your own. You know, I'm experiencing some of that. I want to do things for my kids, but I can't. They're a little older now. They don't want me to tie their shoelace. They don't want me to help them with certain things because they want to grow and learn. When it comes to God, be like a child. Say, Daddy, I need help. Because remember, it's a spiritual act. Okay? And so in that part is when we insert their name, and then we're going to pause, we're going to read through, and that since it occurred, I feel, and in your yellow page, you'll see a square with a whole bunch of different words. Maybe it's not one of those words, it's another word. It's okay. But this is just a few words to try and help you to release those negative emotions and those things that are holding you're holding on to. The Bible says that God wants us sozoed. He wants us whole, body, mind, soul, and spirit. He wants your mind free. He wants your emotions free. He wants your body free. He wants your spirit free. And that so in a moment, let's say together, And just insert that name, and then we'll read through, and then take a moment, and just before Holy Spirit, and you just begin to speak out to him, hey, I'm angry over this. God, would you release me from that anger? Would you release me and that from the, that feeling of ugly because that word that someone spoke over me? You know, God, would you release that choir director that when I was 7 years old and that spoke over everyone, okay, you guys sing, okay, no, you guys sing, okay, you sing, you, don't sing again. I mean, I didn't even want to sing in the choir, but every kid had to sing because it was the church thing to do. Right? But in that God wants to help us bring release to things that are still causing us. I didn't open my lips. I'm still not the best singer, but it's okay. I'm not singing for anyone else. I'm singing for him. But at the end of the day is I never opened my lips until I was 20, 21 years old. I was bound. I wasted so much. The enemy robbed me. Remember, the enemy is out to rob, kill, and destroy. He'll use anything around you to get to your heart and destroy you. So let's read together. And that top little section. Father. Okay, let's try it again. Father. Jesus, I forgive, and then insert the name, for The incidences that you're going to read out to them, since this occurred, I feel, and just begin to read out. Maybe it's bitter or broken or confused over that incident. Just take a moment, you and God. I can't do this for you. No one else can, but you can with Holy Spirit's help. Just take a moment longer. Holy Spirit, would you just come right now and just reveal to us all the areas the enemy is trying to hold us back, to rob us of the joy that you place inside of us, the peace and the rest. Next slide. Again, when it comes to insert the name, just place the name again. Again, Father, let's repeat together. Father, I repent for harboring in my heart these negative emotions of unresolved anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, pride, and critical judgments against. Father, I now release to you and I forfeit my right to seek revenge. I choose not to hold on to any anger, bitterness, or resentment in Jesus' name. Next slide. Together, Lord, I now release these emotions, that long list that you just had or the words that you just pulled, to you, and I ask you to heal my heart with your love. I desire to see and love, insert the name, the way that you do, through the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Thank you for healing my damaged emotions. I desire to be changed by your Spirit into the man or woman, depending who you are, of God that you have created me to be. Amen. Listen to me. And that we've got to step into the Spirit when it's spiritual issues. Don't spiritualize everything because we live in this world. I stub my toe and it hurts. I don't have to spiritualize it all. Oh, some demon stepped on my toe. No, I tripped and I got my toe stubbed on something. Right? I can put my hands on and pray for it. Right? Or God gives us the ability and the gift to go to a doctor if we need to, and we're thankful for doctors, medicine, technology. They're all gifts from Him. No one's that smart. They're all gifts from God. But at the end of the day is that you cannot use the physical gifts, the physical things, when it's a spiritual issue. It just won't work. Remember I shared about that time with my bowels and doctors wanted to operate and do a whole bunch of things and then God woke me up and said, whoa, wait a minute, this is spiritual. And God said He was going to release it. I told the doctor and they kind of like, oh, are you kidding me? And I said, okay, you know, come in tomorrow at this time. I said, no, after church I'll come. The end of church service, they pray for me and everything else. I go to there, still not a bowel movement. It's now almost 2 weeks and that is not good at all. And I go in, they do that, make you drink that chalky stuff, and then I go through the ultrasound again, and now they find absolutely nothing. Yet I was so full, and that just weeks before with a twist on one, the bowel and the low, and then that release, and then a twist on the top, and then something never seen before. It was a spiritual attack. I could have went for surgery, but it still wouldn't have solved any problems, because it was a spiritual issue. And that's why you and I need to open ourselves to the Lord and we've got to talk to Him. We've got to open ourselves and say, God, what are you doing here? What's happening here? Is this a spiritual issue? Is this a physical issue? How do you want me to handle it? What do you want me to do? But when it comes to forgiveness, forgiveness is not an emotion. It's a choice. You must choose to forgive. Let me finish with this. Next slide. Forgiveness says, I no longer hold this against you. That's what true biblical forgiveness is saying. I no longer hold this against you. Number two, I won't keep bringing this up to you. It's done. It's covered by the blood and it's gone. Amen? What you just released, it's gone. Number three, I won't talk about this to others behind your back. Why? Because it's gone. It's forgiven and I'm not holding it anymore. Never again to bring it up. Why? Because it's in Jesus' hands now. It's under his blood. Amen? Next slide. Everything we do it unto the Lord and for his glory. So is what I'm saying, what I'm thinking, what I'm doing, is it lifting the lordship of Christ? Hanging on to what I hang on to, is it lifting his lordship or not? Number two, if love doesn't win out, then something's wrong. Because love never, never, never fails. It never fails. Now, doesn't always work in my timing, and I don't always understand it, but if I stay the course of love, God will make a way. He'll restore. He'll do something, somehow, some way, down the road, some way, through everything else. And that, so if it doesn't win out, then there's a problem. There's a wall, there's a barrier, there's something that's stopping me. And that will take time over the next few weeks and help unload that, or into January we'll unload it. And then remember, a little leaven affects everything. So practice sozoing yourself daily. Release forgiveness. Keep a short account. Pick up your cross daily and follow him. And that God never intended us to be so wound up. He never intended us to be so bound. He never intended us and that to carry so much. In fact, I don't have to sin ever again because he set me free. Problem is when I lean over to my flesh, then I end up doing things I don't want to do. And the things I want to do, I don't end up doing. Why? Because I'm not walking with him and trusting him and listening to him. But God says he'll give you everything you need to live the life of godliness and righteousness. He will give you that self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not something you've got in your own ability, and that's why you're in need of him today. And that's why I'm in need of him today. That's why we come to church to spur one another on. It's not because it's just the thing to do on a Sunday, but it's because we are in desperate need every day of him. Every day. Because I can make a decision 5 years ago, 50 years ago, 20 years ago to serve the Lord. But the only way I can remain in him today is through the help of the Holy Spirit. Because left to my own devices, I like that broad road. I like the broad road. I don't like the narrow road because the narrow road's not always easy. And I need Holy Spirit's help to help me to remain in him as he remains in me. So Jesus, I thank you for each and every one here today. God, Lord, I just thank you, God, Lord, even for those that participated today and stepped in that act, spiritual act of releasing forgiveness. God, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would just come and you would remind them, Lord, of just how good you are. And God, I pray that not only would that be released off of them and taken that weight off of them, but God, Lord, like those blocks of Jenga, whatever else was connected to that, may they just tumble off. And God, all of a sudden, may they say, wow, man, that was good to forgive. Wow, I just feel so much lighter. God, I just this. Even if everything inside of us is telling us right now, oh, you were silly for doing that. What are you doing that for? Oh, you have a right to hang on to these things. God, Lord, we just tell our emotions, smarten up, come in alignment, and that I'm not going to be moved by my emotions anymore. I'm going to be moved by the Spirit of God. Because it's not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit that everything changes. So Holy Spirit, I thank you right now for all that you're doing to help us to walk in the freedom that Jesus has already given us. So bless each and every one, overwhelm them with your goodness, Lord, I pray. And we give you thanks and we give you glory and we give you honor in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.